You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to the Love the Star podcast. I'm Bobby Belt, Dallas Cowboys insider for 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. Joined, as always, by former Super Bowl winning scout Brian Broaddus. He is now the co-host of the G-Bag Nation, 2 to 7 p.m. Central, Monday through Friday on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. He is also the pre- and post-game co-host on the Dallas Cowboys radio network. Brian Broaddus, how you doing?
Doing well, Robert. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. I'm up to, I finally had circled back on a couple guys in the draft yesterday, and I was just kind of looking over some guys and trying to figure out, okay, do I really feel comfortable? Let me compare notes. All right, let me go back, watch a little bit of this guy, see some things. So I felt pretty good about finally kind of putting my grades out there for the positions yesterday. I'm up to 172 players, Brian. I'm trying to get to 200. I still got a list of guys that I'm asking about that I need to run down. But how far along are you, Brian, and how much more are you going to put in?
I've actually, with the help of Dane Brugler, he does this far more extensively than I do, almost on a team level.
The Beast is coming out next week, by the way.
Yeah, I've been doing it since May, Dane. So I was asking him, I'm like, listen, give me your draftable guys that you have by position. And so what I did was I took his list and then cross-checked it with my list, to make sure, like, there's a couple of guys at each position that I'm going to have to go back. It's going to be well over 100 for me, because there's certain positions that now have players. The cornerback position, we could add a lot more to. The safety position, I can add a lot more to. The defensive tackle list was very, very small, which you can add to. So here I am. I'm going to be well over 200 players. It's what I'm going to post for our station at 105.3. The Fan is, I'll post my board and then I'll post my stack is what I'll do. And I think everybody will have a good idea of how I see these players. But the number is going to be over 200. It's just the way that the draft's going to fall. And I do feel like I do not want to miss a player that, say, Dane has a fifth, sixth round grade on.
Right.
I think that's unfair to the kid. I've got time to do it. You know, we've got a couple more weeks. I could take a couple of days and, knock out a bunch of guys and put them on a board. And, and that way, if they do get selected, if they're not by the Dallas Cowboys, then maybe another team. But that's the thing about the draft show, as we all know, we all take it with responsibility that not just about the Dallas Cowboys, it's about all the teams. We have a lot of fans out there that listen to us regardless of if their team is the Cowboys or the Buccaneers or the Rams. And I think it's important that we give those players their due, and we also give those fans the opportunity to hear about their players if they're drafted.
Yeah, absolutely. You said it long ago, the motto of the draft show, investigate and educate. And,
right.
And that's what we're here to do. I was looking at it. I was going through looking at all the positions I worked. I've done a bunch of edge guys, a bunch of corners, a bunch of receivers. I'm way too low. I'm in the single digits still on safeties and centers, Brian.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to, those are the ones that I think I'm going to have to really focus on finishing up here. But everything else, I feel like I got a pretty good handle on the meat of the draft at this point. But let's look at the guys at the top of the draft. Cause you know, we've run through these scenarios where we talk about, you know, the offensive line feels like the odds on favorite. If I was to just ask you to give a percentage right now, Brian, let's say the Cowboys stay in and pick at 24. If they stay in and pick at 24, what would you say the percentage chance is that position is an offensive lineman right now?
I would say it's pretty good.
I'm going like 90-95%. I think it's an offensive lineman.
If you look at just on 30 visit guys, the interesting one, and we talked about it and then the previous show, was Thuaga from Oregon State. A very interesting name, because I don't feel like he's going to get to them at 24. And so now I'm in that mode of, is this a possible trade up? If he gets to a certain number, do they have something in mind? You know, it's to go get a guy like that. Is this a big smokescreen? It's to me, it's when you look at, they visit with him at the combine, they visited with him now a 30 visit. It seems like there's some intent there. I don't think that you do all these things just to smokescreen this thing.
Yeah.
I believe he's a legitimate top two offensive tackle, depending on what you think about Alt from Notre Dame. I know on my board I have him that way. The Barton visit, the Powers Johnson visit, I think is kind of taking you in a direction. Another wild card here, would you think about, you know, a possibility with like a Byron Murphy, you know, is that it's a three technique we're talking about. I don't see a lot of one techniques on my board.
No, there's not a lot.
Not a lot. That's a pretty thin position. The three techniques, I think, stretch pretty well. But your question was offensive linemen, possibilities. I think it's leaning that direction.
Okay, so because I think everybody kind of has felt like it's offensive line, and we've kind of gone over the position group, I know some people have been like, okay, well, who's somebody who could slide down to us? Who's somebody that we could be looking at and talking about as like, well, we didn't know this guy was going to be here. So I think an easy way to do this today, or just to like familiarize people with what kind of names are out there, is we're just going to go through the position groups here over the next little bit until we go into the mailbag and just look at who the first round graded players are. Brian, how many do you have this year? You have 22. Okay. So I've ended up with 18.
Okay.
After I went back and checked on some stuff yesterday, which is where I was at. I moved a couple guys.
I bet you I could tell you where I think we're different.
Okay.
I don't think you have Brian Thomas in the first round.
I do not.
I don't think you have Wiggins from Clemson, the corner, in the first round.
I do have Wiggins in the first round.
I don't think you have Newbin, the safety from Minnesota, in the first round.
Correct. I do not.
I don't think you have Penix in the first round.
No, I do not. I did not know you had Penix in the first round.
Williams, Daniel, Penix are my three first round quarterbacks.
I like Penix a lot. Let's start there then. Quarterback position, your first round graded players, list them for me real quick, and then just kind of give us a quick encapsulation of that group.
Williams, Caleb Williams, likely the best player in this draft.
Mm-hmm.
He's my number one overall. He's likely going to go to the Bears here unless something crazy happens. With Jaden Daniels, LSU, I feel like, though, to me, if I'm a Cowboy fan, and I'm saying this from a guy that watched him play 2 years at LSU, if Daniels ends up with the Commanders, I think that's a bad thing for the Cowboy fans. You know, I think that the Commanders, to me, were a team that needed a quarterback desperately, but their defense faltered so badly. But they fix this quarterback room, then they're going to go in the right direction, I believe. And then I have Michael Penix as my third quarterback in the first round. If you look at Penix, he's an older guy. He's dealt with injury in his career. Everywhere he's been, he's won. The Indiana football program is not the same. If you remember Indiana several years ago, Michael Penix was beating Ohio State, was beating Michigan. That's something Indiana never did except in basketball. So I think that you look at Penix and you look at what he did at Washington with the talented receivers, the offensive line, the defense that they had, that is a well-built team. Michael Penix got that head coach the Alabama job.
Yeah, the way that Jalen Bohr.
Yeah. So I feel like, though, to me, with Drake May, McCarthy, Nix, those guys, I have May, McCarthy in the second, and I have Nix all the way down to the third.
I'm with you. I have Nix in the third. I'm with you that I have Jaden Daniel have Caleb Williams in the first round. The only other first round quarterback I have is Drake May. Yeah. I've got Penix in the second. I have Daniels in the third with McCarthy. Because to me, I look at Daniels and I felt like of the group, Nix, Daniels, McCarthy, Penix, Williams, and May, I felt like watching Daniels, I saw the least amount of like true pro throws on his tape. I felt like in terms of stuff that's like being able to attack the middle of the field, being able to have the arm strength to, you know, throw stuff outside the numbers. Those, you know, the coaches always talk about it, you know, those like those 18 yard comebacks outside the numbers. Like you got to be able to throw that. And I don't know that Jaden Daniels can consistently hit that. I don't know about Jaden Daniels throwing to the middle of the field. So those are kind of where my reservations are. But I absolutely love Caleb Williams. I really love the upside of Drake May. I mean, the common comparison everybody keeps throwing out there for his upside is Justin Herbert. But I think also yeah. on the back end of that, like the floor for him is also could very easily be a guy like Connor Cook, at least for me. That's who I saw. Yeah. So you got to start answering. Here's the biggest question to me with Drake May, Brian. The decision making is really questionable at times.
Yep.
That gets him in trouble. My thing is you have to discern, is the decision making a factor of irrational confidence or he didn't see it? And I think more often than not, it's an issue of he's just believing way too much in his ability to fit it in there. And I think that I can live with a little bit more than the guy who doesn't see it. That's more concerning to me, is when you just don't see it and you make a bad throw.
No, I think you're onto something there. The thing with Daniels, I'll circle back with you on that. I think there are throws that I think that if you really, really, really study LSU, And you watch, and again, this is my watching him play every game for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And I understand that they have Neighbors, Thomas, Lacey. They've got legitimate pro receivers. So they've got a legitimate, Jason Taylor's son plays tight end. He's a legitimate, they've got weapons.
Yeah.
And I do see crossing routes. I do see sideline throws. I do see vertical game. When you watch guys like Neighbors and Thomas and those guys play, I think you see a lot of different routes. I think this kid can make those throws. I think physically, he's not for everybody's eye. He's not, you know, Williams, and he's not Penix, and he, you know, and Drake May looks like a NFL ready quarterback. And
oh, and I'll be honest, that like you got to check your own bias at the door at times, and sometimes like
oh no,
it may,
and
it
I, may, I, no no Dan, I, Daniels I totally
Daniels
understand.
Is Daniels yeah. is not the style of quarterback that I like typically, and so right. I also have to clear that away when I watch him.
I'll tell you what, there's things I know people give McCarthy a lot of, you know, a lot of crap. There's things that he does that is you can't discount his ability to win. He lost one game in his career.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at Drake May, he beat one top 25 team, and that was Miami. He's had games where he's had multiple interceptions. You know, I think you're on to something about his ability to see the field, to actually process. The talent's there, but I felt like that there wasn't always the accuracy. Felt like he kind of hung his guys out a couple of times. Maybe it's this bias too towards North Carolina and what we've seen from their quarterback play.
Trubisky, you know, and Howell recently.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's a little bit of that. But I'll tell you what, though, if you ask me to bet on one guy.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'd bet on Penix.
I really believe in Penix. Penix, the biggest question there is just like, what are teams going to look at with the medicals? He's had a couple of knee issues.
That's a big thing.
So that's something to ask about. So that's the quarterback group. First round graded running backs, I don't think either of us have one, do we?
No.
I got Jonathan Brooks at Texas is the top one for me. He's in the second round, though. Over to receiver, there's going to be a cluster of them. We're going to have to jump to a break here in a sec. So let's really quickly, I imagine we're the same here. You have just one first round graded tight end, correct?
Bowers, yes.
Yeah, Brock Bowers at Georgia. I know that there were some questions. Some people felt like, okay, is he enough of a factor in the run game? Is the size really what you want out of a tight end? Are those really the only knocks on Bowers? Because, I mean, I think if you want to see, I've said it several times, you want to see the best tape anybody put out there all year, Auburn. To me, it's Bowers against Auburn. He won that game for them. He took over the game and was making insane plays. To me, Bowers is an easy first-round player and somebody that I actually have. Where do I have him in my stack, Brian? I'll tell you right now. I have Brock Bowers fifth.
Yeah. He's not a true inline tight end. He's a big receiver, but those physical traits. We all love Kyle Pitts from the 2021 draft and kind of feel like this is a similar player. I feel like Brock Bowers is a little bit better. And I absolutely love Pitts, but like I say, both these guys are nightmares to deal with when they play on the move. They're dominant. Yeah. Body control, balance, big time catch radius. The ball's near them, they're going to catch it. So, yeah, there's a lot to love about Brock Bowers. I don't know if everybody, they look at him, he's 6'3", he's 243 pounds. But you watch him run with the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
You'd swear he's like 280 pounds, the way he just runs through people. This guy's one of the best players in the country when it comes to run after catch.
Yeah.
And make a real problem to bring down.
Tough contested catches in traffic. Yeah. I mean, he is such a good player to me. Obviously, yeah. Is it classic inline tight end build? No. It's more similar to what Evan Engram was coming out several years ago. That's the type of build you're talking about here. You're listening to the Love the Star podcast. The Love the Star is an Odyssey podcast. You can find it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.